We're reading from Philippians this morning. We continue our series that we began and we normally do in the afternoons. And I'm reading from chapter 1, verse 27. I hope you've had in the last month an opportunity to think on this text a little bit as we started it. Actually, we started it way back the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so it's been a long break, and maybe we'll return to it and refresh our memories this morning. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and I see you, or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you it is salvation, and that is from God. Because to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. As I said, we began this section way back before Thanksgiving. And just as a short review, I'd like to remind us that Paul is concerned in this epistle of the Philippians about the unity of the church. Апостол Павел здесь пишет за единство в церкви. Все это послание учит и наставляет нас за единство. And so Paul calls and he challenges these believers to the high standard that God has set. Do you understand what the word challenge means? The challenge means a target. It means a goal. Something that you will strive for. Something that you will reach for. Later on, we'll discuss the word athlete and how they strive to win the prize. God has set for every believer a standard. When we study the epistle of the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, I, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk or live means the same thing for the Apostle Paul. Our life is our walk, and our walk is our talk. And so is your talk and your walk, does it all add up? Does it match the standard that God has called us to? We are Christians. The world calls us Christians. Do we act like Christians? Do we talk like Christians? Is it worthy of the name Christian? And if you were here that Sunday when we began this series, we talked about the fact that this expression, let your conduct be worthy, that phrase means live like a citizen. Это слово на выражение на греческом языке, живите достойно. Это обозначает живите как граждане небесные. Вот это выражение обозначает гражданин. What does it mean to be a citizen? It means to act within the laws and the culture of the society we live in. The Greek society would actually have a book, a registry of all the people that lived in that city, whatever little city you lived in at that time. And your name was in there. And there were times when the person would act unworthy of the law. He would break the law, and he could actually have his name scratched out and removed from the book of the citizens. Very serious discussion Paul has here. And so this term, to walk worthy, means act like a Christian, act like a citizen of heaven. And of course, at the same time, be the best citizen on earth that you're supposed to be. And includes the idea of integrity, completeness, wholeness. Everything that Jesus is, he's calling us to live that way because of our salvation. And there are four characteristics here in this text that we read that we will discuss in the coming weeks. The first one is unity. We'll talk about that today. And we'll talk about our work. That includes what we are called to do. But it also means to be fearless. To be worthy citizen of heaven means to be fearless of what people on earth can do to you. And that comes in verse 25, and we'll do that in the following Sunday sometime. And last of all, we will see in this text that we have been called to suffer on behalf of Christ. So there's four characteristics here. Unity, work together, fearlessness, no fear, and the privilege of suffering for Christ. Paul has already mentioned the fact that he would like to come and visit them. They enjoy visiting other churches. Sometimes it's nice, but it's good to be faithful to your local church. And in the faithfulness and the unity of the local church, Paul says, whether I come to see you in person or whether I am away, and Paul was in jail at this point, he says, I want to hear about you that you are united in what you do. Unity. Единство. This has always been a deficit in the church of unity. At the time Paul was writing here, the church at Philippians, and later on in later chapters, he's going to name names of people that were not united with the church, people that were bringing discord into the church. Unity has always been a problem for the church because we're different. We have 50, 60 people here today, and every single one of us is different. And each of us wants our way. But God says, I want it my way too. And if you call yourself Christian, then live by my standard. If you call yourself my child, then act according to my character. So God calls us to spiritual unity in our life. And that should be one of the characteristics of our church. What does the world see when they look at us? Do they see unity or do they see disharmony, disunity, division? Sadly, throughout history, the church has split and divided many times. And sometimes it was necessary, and sometimes there were evil, and sometimes there were heresies in the church that precipitated division. And the church needed to set a standard and say, this is true and this is not true. There were church councils, there were conferences that occurred throughout history when doctrine was set. In the third century, there was a teaching that was teaching that Jesus Christ was just a man. He was not God. And so the church needed to meet and decide this issue once and for all, and that caused a division. So sometimes division was necessary, but sometimes division is a result of just people wanting their own way. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about theological division when it talks about the Word of God. He's talking about division that's based on, well, I want it my way, or this is the way I grew up, and this is the way I want it in our church. And so Paul says, stand together. You may have seen sometimes before we had automobiles, in the mud, and those of you that lived in South America, I've heard stories about a wagon gets stuck in the mud, and people are going to church in their good Sunday clothes, and they have to get out and in the mud push or pull the wagon and help the horse pull it. Put your shoulder to the wheel is an expression we say in English. This is there's even famous artists that have painted pictures of this. Stand together. The word is a military word, where the soldiers goes out and they fight together against a common enemy. As we've been going through the book of Joshua, we've noticed the unity of Israel as they went out, as God led them against their enemies. Standing firm here in this text that we read, it means to stand for everything that is right. And right is God's word for everything that is correct. Everything that is straight, everything that is holy, everything that is sinless. And Paul is calling us to live worthily, together, united, and it's a call for everything that is right. In Ephesians chapter 6, several times Paul talks about standing firm. Remember, Paul says, put on the armor of God, and when Satan directs his arrows against you, and when the battle is over, you will be standing. And so this call is not only for unity among the church, but unity of our mind and how we think. The church is supposed to think like Jesus Christ thought. Paul writes in another place, he says, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are right, think about these things. And what is right and what is holy and what is pure? It is only the Word of God. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that day and night meditates on the Word of God. Psalm 119, 176 verses, over and over and over, every verse refers us to the Word of God. It is the light to our path. It lights up our life. So stand united. Think together. Think the same way. And the only way we do that is when we bury ourselves and our mind in the Word of God. The second thing here it says, and I want to briefly speak about it, it says, strive together. Work together. The word strive means to compete like athletes do. And we're going to have some Olympics coming up here pretty soon, and I think we're going to be watching TV a lot and watching athletes. Now, when we're going to watch the Olympics, you're going to notice that they are not united. They all want to win, each one individually. And the person that wants to win the gold medal, he wants everybody else to lose. And notice Paul, he uses two words to describe our unity. He says, strive, and strive means be athletic. But he says, strive together. Not like the athletes do in the Olympics, but strive together for one common cause, the unity of the church. Work together for the propagation of the gospel. Work together for the faith in the gospel, he says. What is the faith of the gospel? It is what we hold dear. It is the spiritual truths of our salvation. That God has called us unworthy. He has saved us. He has justified us. He has made us pure. He has made us clean. He has given us peace with God. We are no longer enemies of God. We are now children of God. The Holy Spirit has come to live in our life. He produces fruit in us. Galatians chapter 5. Strive together. Every athlete, when he comes to the end of the race, puts out the last ounce of energy that he has. You see the guy's running and there's a ribbon out in there and he's reaching out with his hand. He's reaching, he's striving. His whole body is stretched. This word strive together is the same word that in English we also, from the Greek, we get the word agonize. Agonia. And it's the same word that the Gospels used to describe Jesus in a garden when he was praying in agony, so that his sweat became like drops of blood. It was intense. It was 100%. And that's what Paul is calling us to. To unity, so we'd be together, so we would work and think together, and also that we would work together and we would all strive for the same thing. Do we have a goal as a church to be a light in Hollywood that shines in the darkness of this community? Are we working together and striving together? Are we passionate? The word also includes the idea of passion, strast. To want it so much that it consumes us. So that our mind is completely dedicated to this. All for the furtherance of the gospel. Благовествование Христово. Sharing and spreading the good news. Jesus said, from Jerusalem and to the ends of the world. Let your conduct be worthy. Be united. Work together. Strive together of one mind. Verse 28, we'll look at it next time. Don't be terrified. Don't be scared. Don't be fearful. And also, if you have the honor and the privilege of suffering, suffer worthily. And we'll talk about that next time, God willing. May God bless His word.